Now to Milwaukee to discuss the surge in crime and next steps. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You've aligned to Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. Some roadmap here for conversation, looking at the court delays, the backlogs, what it means for justice, what to do about violent crime, with Milwaukee Police Department's dashboard showing 69 homicides to date this year, more historic violence. But we start with Roe and the potential of the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn abortion rights, what it means for Wisconsin. 800-642-1234 to join in along the way. Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. Good to be back here.
Well, before we talk crime, let's look at Roe, the leaked draft opinion showing the high court poised to overturn abortion protections. This could make most abortions illegal in Wisconsin under a state law. If the draft opinion stands, how would your office proceed in enforcing the state law banning abortions?
Well, you know, baked into the question, Kate, is an understanding that people are looking for some certainty and some guidance that unfortunately just isn't going to be there for some time. And that's because for 50 years we've operated under one set of assumptions and principles. And it will not be as simple as having a elected prosecutor tell you that that they will categorically and sort of preemptively ignore the law. That, unfortunately, doesn't work. And that's why it is so concerning to me, and I would argue to any prosecutor in the state of Wisconsin, and also to our law enforcement partners who would be tasked then with investigating allegations. Now, it is important to point out that Wisconsin's law has always been framed up as directed towards those that provided services for abortion. And in practical terms, I would say in the short term, the advantage of the leaked draft is it makes it pretty clear to anybody that would be providing those services that they're very unlikely to provide those services, which, again, creates all sorts of additional problems that are of great concern to us.
When you hear Attorney General Josh Call saying he wouldn't investigate nor prosecute under the 1849 ban, and said county-level DAs like yourself shouldn't spend resources enforcing the ban either, what position does that put you in?
It's not helpful, to be real honest. It's sort of an artfully crafted way of saying it's not the AG's responsibility, and it just reinforces the point that it would ultimately be the elected county DA's responsibility to address those issues. But I can just reassure everybody that you know, this system has changed dramatically in 50 years. And one of the things that we have become acutely sensitive to is who's most impacted by restrictions and access to health care. And unfortunately, it's some of our most vulnerable people. And so the implications are great, and they're really uncertain. And that's the biggest point, is that you can't simply go from 0 to 100 overnight. This is going to take some deep thinking. And I would argue, similar to other controversial issues, like, for example, same-sex partners not being able to marry in the state of Wisconsin. What has occurred in the past is prior to any potential enforcement action, prosecutors have actually been sued in federal mm-hmm. court to enjoin them from doing that. I would not be surprised to see, and that's actually kind of a friendly lawsuit, you may argue, that is done intentionally so that you can clarify the law. I'd anticipate that something similar would happen here before there was any kind of enforcement action in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, we'll continue watching there. Let's move on to crime. The Marquette Law School poll finding the city of Milwaukee residents feeling the least safe of any region in the state. What are your thoughts on the perceptions of how people are feeling in Milwaukee about crime and their safety?
For the last 2.5 years, Milwaukee has been dealing with about 3 or 4 different pandemics, not the least which is the public health crisis, but on top of all those concerns, we have had a pandemic of violence. There's just no other way to describe it. The gun violence, the reckless driving, and the deaths related to overdose and substance abuse have all skyrocketed all at the same time. And it has simply overwhelmed the criminal justice system from the law enforcement level to the defense level to the prosecution level, the court systems, the Department of Corrections. All levels of the criminal justice system have been deeply impacted. And most importantly, the community itself has been adversely impacted by this. That's why the governor just recently allocated about $15 million to the Milwaukee County court system so that we can get our system back to equilibrium is what I would describe it as. In other words, we have to be able to address as many of the problems that are coming into the system. We have to balance that out by making sure that we're responding to those cases in an effective and timely manner.
What are you going to do with the money? What are you going to do with the $15 million?
So from my perspective, I'm already in the process of hiring 15 additional prosecutors. The public defenders are working to do the exact same thing. The courts are looking to open up about 5 additional criminal courts. The sole purpose for that is for us to address the really significant, enormous backlogs. And I want to make it clear, we've been open and trying cases long before most other parts in the system are open and trying the cases. We've done hundreds and hundreds of jury trials during this period, but it hasn't been enough because of the restrictions that we had to place on early in the pandemic. So we have enormous backlogs, and for one example would be you have about 200 people currently in jail just facing homicide charges. So we got a lot of work to do.
Do you think that this reset funding, if you will, to put it in those terms, is enough? Or do you need this type of funding to sustain this type of volume of criminal prosecution?
Well, our commitment right now is to, again, get back to what I would describe as equilibrium. And that would mean that we're in the place we were prior to the pandemic. We're for almost 20 years, we had done a pretty effective job of actually reducing violent crime rates and addressing neighborhood community level concerns of violence, and had done so pretty successfully. This last couple of years have really severely impacted our ability to do proactive work like prevention efforts, intervention efforts. Right now, we're almost in purely a reactive, responsive mode, and it makes it very, very difficult. So our goal is simply to get on top of the problem as quickly as we can. But yes, I think that you need much longer term investments across the whole spectrum, not just in prosecutors and public defenders and court systems. I think you need a long term sustained investment in communities so that they can continue the work that was being done pretty effectively at identifying problems at the neighborhood level and addressing those from the neighborhood perspective and from that level. That involved close working relationships with law enforcement and other entities that provided resources to help struggling communities. Yeah, you hate to say it, but you're also going to need some additional resources for police and emergency medical and fire services.
Why do you hate to say it?
Oh. Well, because it has not been a popular issue right now, but it's a stark reality that you have to attract more people into public service that are willing to do the really difficult work of being first responders. Mm-hmm. And we're struggling with that as well. The current solve rate for some of our most serious offenses like homicide has dipped below 50%. And so they're struggling as well. Everybody across the system is struggling. But this has to be done in a thoughtful, community-oriented, and constitutional way. And that takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of very committed people.
going to reintroduce you here, talking with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, as we look at a range of issues, rising crime in particular, court backlogs, bail system. You can join in 800-642-1234. Marcus now in Milwaukee. Hi, Marcus. Go ahead.
So, hi. On June 8th of 2021, I was at the gas station on 41st and Capitol. Two guys pulled out guns, and then their two buddies also pulled out guns. I was able to defuse the situation. It was over literally $20. On 7/20/2021, I spoke with Mayor Barrett on Central Time about this. I still have not received any type of callback or any type of response where you have witnesses there, you have cameras, you have other people, you have the clerks, and it seems that there's just a lack of follow-up. I mean, like, I called and told what I had seen, and like I said, I spoke with Mayor Barrett, and so I just wonder about, like, how this is going to work. My other question is why don't we take and put some of this money towards schooling and school programs and job creation to help with crime?
Marcus, thank you for that. DA John Chisholm.
Great. First of all, thank you for having the courage to get involved in what was obviously a really dangerous circumstance. And to answer the first question first, yeah, let's. It's not an and or question. It's always going to be and. We have to do this, and we have to do what you're talking about, which is adequately funding those organizations, institutions that serve our youngest and oftentimes most vulnerable people in the community as well for the long term. Housing stability plays a big role. Intervention for health services such as mental health and addiction treatment, violence abuse interventions, all of these things are critical. Now, in terms of, it does not surprise me what you're telling me. Again, I've indicated that with the system being overwhelmed with the proliferation of firearms in our community, every single argument turns into an armed conflict. When I'm talking about getting back to equilibrium, that's exactly it, where the police have the space to actually investigate and get evidence and present that to us so that we can hold people accountable. As I indicated, the clearance rate just for homicides has dropped dramatically. Well, it's even worse for the non-fatal incidents like our caller just described.
Mm. Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm talking to us about crime, courts, more. Bring your questions, your experiences to the table, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with DA John Chisholm here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation now with Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm as we discuss what bail reform looks like in light of the Waukesha Parade tragedy, the future closure of Lincoln Hills, youth offenders. Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Milwaukee County DA John Chisholm with us for about 9 more minutes. Turning to Waukesha and the Christmas Parade tragedy and you saying that bail had been set inappropriate low, what changes are you making to ensure that bail recommendations are more appropriate in future cases?
Well, keep in mind that Milwaukee County is one of the few counties that instituted a risk assessment system. In other words, most systems just use cash as a proxy. In other words, you're just guessing whether the offense merits higher levels of cash to try to represent the risk that's posed. That's really not allowed under the Wisconsin statute. So many years ago, we implemented a risk assessment system that allowed us, in addition to arguing for the conditions related to the person returning back to court to try the case, also would inform the court of the potential risk for future appearance, for future violence, things of that nature. So the bottom line is this was an example of of you know, missed opportunities by the person. But ultimately, you know, bail is something that is set by the judicial branch, not by prosecutors. Prosecutors and defense attorneys make recommendations. Judges set bail. So this was, again, just a series of missed opportunities. But it's also raised the issue, and the issue is whether risk should be something that judges are allowed to consider when setting appropriate bail conditions, including cash. And that is something that, you know, ironically, I had always argued for long before the Waukesha incident, that courts should be able to consider that, because it just makes sense, not being able to, I mean, to argue only the return to court issue meant that we were often arguing around the issue, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should just be talking directly about why it is that we think the person may pose a future threat to the community if they're released prior to the resolution of the case.
What changes to state law would improve how Wisconsin's criminal courts handle bail amounts?
Well, I believe that allowing, again, the judges to consider risk initially, but also having an effective system of preventative detention. Again, another thing I had argued for long before the Waukesha incident, which would say that for certain types of offenses, individuals who had committed those offenses or who were presumed to have committed those offenses could, with appropriate protections, be detained without bail until the case is heard. That's a system that's in place in several other states. And then it's offset appropriately with the presumption that most people will be released without cash bail. But for the most serious violent offenses, there would be an ability to hold people without bail while the case is being tried.
Do you think, has the focus on bail overshadowed other ways the criminal justice system failed to hold Daryl Brooks accountable?
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I mean, the emphasis simply on me acknowledging our role in one part of the chain of events that occurred, it got politicized immediately when there were multiple system failures, which, again, in the context of what the criminal justice system is dealing with right now, they're understandable, they're explainable, they're never excusable. That's an old rule. You can explain what happened. You oftentimes can't excuse what happened, and nor should you. You have to learn from mistakes and incorporate those into preventing that from happening. You know, certainly we had to go through with an almost entirely new staff again and again. You have to reinforce the standards and the expectations of the organization that we prioritize keeping the community safe and yet doing so in an appropriate, principled, constitutional way. So that's constant. Our turnover here is extraordinarily high, as it is throughout the system, and so it's something you just have to stay at each and every day.
Let me run this by you. The ban against cash bail starts in Illinois next year when its governor signed the change into law. He called it a substantial step toward dismantling systemic racism.
Correct.
Should Wisconsin follow Illinois and abolish cash bail?
So here's what they incorporate in that is just what I had talked about, which is a robust preventative detention framework as well. So yes, I would encourage us to look at that, but do it in even better ways that would protect the public, but also protect people's constitutional rights. Because you are absolutely right, the current system of cash does disproportionately impact poor people. In other words, those who have the money, who are wealthy, they can post any amount of bail. And that doesn't protect the public any more than not having any bail in any circumstances. So, yeah, the equity issue is real, and we're trying to address that by incorporating risk, which is never perfect. You can't predict the future. All you can do is make as reasoned a decision as you possibly can based on all the facts and circumstances.
Talking with John Chisholm, Milwaukee County District Attorney, let's turn to juvenile offenders. We heard from a Milwaukee advocate who opposes demolishing the Cheney Correctional Center to build a new youth prison at that location. Where should the state place a new youth prison in Milwaukee County as Lincoln Hills closes?
Yeah, I hate to say here we go again, but we have recognized the failure of the Lincoln Hills dynamic structure for, you know, going on 8 years now. And it seems like every gubernatorial election cycle, some money is directed towards Milwaukee, which is always inadequate. And the expectation is that a secure residential juvenile facility will be built overnight. And it's never happened. And I don't predict it's going to happen this time. And unfortunately, that means that the problem is going to continue. And it is a serious problem. Look, we have to have much more robust options than we have right now. And they should be here in the Milwaukee community so that when we make the determination that somebody is unsafe at this period in their life to be out in the community, they can be put in a structured rehabilitative setting, but still stay in touch with their family and with their community. I mean, that's the ultimate goal of the juvenile system is rehabilitation. It's really difficult to do that when your option is all or nothing. You know, all is sending somebody 200 miles away, or nothing is they remain in short-term confinement locally and then are back out on the street again.
We only have a few seconds left, and I'm just wondering, do you have a location in mind that you think would work well?
You know, there's any number of locations that I think could be utilized, but again, this is something that is not going to happen overnight, and what is needed is much more urgent action.
Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
John Chisholm has been DA of Milwaukee County since 2006. And if you missed any part of our conversation, you can stream it or download it later today at our programs page at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.